And the title of today's word is, Do Not Worry. And given the things which have happened and the news that we have had, both from what's going on in the world and also the prognosis that Sarah has received, you know, I think that's something that we all need to realize, that we have no need to worry if we are in His hands, that we are safe. His word tells us that no one will snatch you out of His hands. No one snatch you out of the Father's hands, because the Father is greater than He is. But the bit of scripture that I'm going to start with is from Matthew 6, 25 to 34. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What will you eat or drink, or about your body? What you will wear? Is it life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his splendor, was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Wow. Strong passage. A lot in there when you think about it. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we are a people who like to worry. In fact, it's one of our, no, I wouldn't say favorite occupations, but it's one of the occupations that most of us find, whether we think about it or not. But Lord, we just pray that you will be gentle with us and forgive us and help us to remember that we don't have a need to worry when we know you and are part of your family. So Lord, just be with us now as I bring your word. Make my lips your lips, Lord. Take me out of it altogether, because we only want to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, we are people who like to worry, aren't we? We always worry about something. We've always got something to worry about. Don't worry. So we're not going to worry. We do worry, don't we? We worry about all sorts of rubbish. There's a lot happening in the world today that causes us to worry. We've got, as we already prayed about, the war in Ukraine, the conflict in Gaza, to name but two. In the passage of scripture that we just read from Matthew's Gospel, it makes it quite clear that worrying achieves absolutely nothing. Yet, why do we do it? We can't help it, can we? And I think that's why, as Heidi mentioned whenever she was taking us through communion, that lovely verse from Romans, which we all need to remember, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are human. We are not perfect. We never will be perfect until He calls us home. And then we will be changed in the blinking of an eye. And we'll be perfect. We'll be fit, healthy. I'll have no tinnitus. I won't need glasses. I'll have my own teeth. I won't need teeth anyway. I don't know. I don't know if I'll need teeth or not. You know. But I'm made of hair. I don't know. Maybe they're all bald. I don't know. But whatever it is, I know I'm going to be safe and enjoy it. You know, so why worry? But we can't help it, can we? We can't. We can't help it. But it makes it quite clear that nothing ever comes from worry. And nothing can grow from worry apart from depression, mental anguish. And the Lord doesn't want that. He wants to free us from all of that. There's a lovely story which I'm going to read to you now, because I thought it probably better, puts it better than I could probably put it. And it's a story it's from an unknown author. And I think, unknown author, why do they do unknown authors? But I think it's because people want people to be able to use it without having to have copyright. If you see an unknown author, it's free to grab, as I say. And it reads like this. Years ago, I was enthralled as I listened to a pastor who for several years had faithfully served a church. His executive responsibilities had taken him all over the country. As he concluded his message, he told of one of the most frightening yet thought-provoking experiences of his life. He had been on a long flight when, all of a sudden, fasten the seatbelt signs on the aircraft flashed on, followed by a calm voice announcing, "We won't be serving any beverages at the minute because we're expecting a little turbulence." Now, I don't know if any of you have ever heard that when you're on a flight, but Linda and I experienced that out in the States. And it came on, "We won't be serving this then, we won't be serving anything else." And we were sitting there enjoying a glass of Coke, and all of a sudden the aircraft dropped about 500 feet, just whoop, and the Coke was left on the ceiling. But we didn't get burnt. We weren't drinking coffee like some of them were on there, you know. But, and then all of a sudden it was back to normal. You know, and we enjoyed it. It was like being on a free roller coaster. We enjoyed it, but the fear that was caused on that plane. But you know, the only thing, the reason we could enjoy it was because, to be honest, we didn't care. We knew that whatever happened, we were going to be together and okay, one way or the other. You know, but to carry on with the story, as he looked around the aircraft, it became obvious that many of the passengers were becoming apprehensive. Later, the voice of the announcer said, "We're so sorry, but we are unable to serve the meal at this time. The turbulence is still ahead of us." Then the storm broke. There were loud cracks of thunder, which could be heard even above the roar of the engines. Lightning lit up the darkened skies, and within moments, the great plane was like a cork tossed about on the sea. One moment, the plane was lifted on terrific currents of air. The next, it dropped as if it were about to crash. Do you remember that, dear? The pastor confessed that he shared the discomfort and fear of those around him. He said, "As I looked around the plane, I could see that nearly all of the passengers were upset and alarmed. Some were praying. The future seemed ominous. And many were wondering if they would make it through the storm. Then I suddenly saw a little girl. She had tucked her feet beneath her as she sat on her seat. She was reading a book, and everything within her small world was calm and orderly. Sometimes she closed her eyes. Then she would open them and start reading again. Then she would straighten her legs. But worry and fear were not in her world. Apparently the storm meant nothing to her. When the plane was being buffeted by the terrible storm, when it lurched this way and that, and it rose and fell with frightening severity, when all the adults were scared half to death, that little child was completely composed and unafraid. The minister could not believe his eyes. It was not surprising, therefore, that when the plane finally reached its destination, that all the passengers were hurrying to disembark. But the pastor lingered to speak to the girl whom he had watched for such a long time. He commented to her about the storm and her calm behavior on the plane, and he asked her why she had not been afraid. The child replied, "Because my dad is the pilot, and he has taken me home." You know, and that's what we are. We are God's children. And if we're going through terrors and turmoils, doesn't matter. We don't need to worry, because he is our dad. If we belong to him, and he will take us home. You know, there will be many kinds of storms that will buffet us in life. Physical storms, like losing the teeth, losing your limb, you know, losing power in your limbs. Or any sort of physical storm. Mental storms, people will be depressed from time to time. Financial, people run out of cash or have big bills come in all of a sudden and wonder how they're going to get through. Domestic problems of all the descriptions, I'm not going to go into them, but there's no different descriptions. And there are many other storms that can easily and quickly darken our skies, as it were, and throw our plane into an uncontrollable flight, as it were. We have all known such times, I'm sure, if we're honest about it and confess. But it's much easier to be at rest when your feet are firmly fixed on solid ground. Terra firma, you can't beat it. You know, when things are being tossed about in the sky, I'm sure people think of one thing: I want to get back on that ground. You know, but there's no need to worry when you're with the Lord. We all know the story when the disciples experienced similar fear when the storm came up on Galilee, when they were out on the boat with Jesus. And in Matthew 8, 23 to 27, we read, "Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" You know, I often read that and I think, well, where was their faith? I mean, they had been with this man day and night, basically, for at least 2.5 years. I'm not sure exactly the length of time when that happened on Galilee, but for quite a long time. And they knew they could trust him. They'd seen all his miracles. I'm not sure whether that was before or after the walking on the water. One, I should have researched that one, shouldn't I? But you know, they lost sight of who was in the boat with them and who their anchor was. On receiving Jesus' rebuke, I'm sure that the disciples suddenly realized just how silly they had been. And you know, there are times when we can be the same, when we get worried about things and go to everybody else. We'll phone this one or that one, or we'll go on Google and say, how do we get around, resolve this? And then we realize there is one person who knows the answer to every problem. And then we bring it to the Lord in prayer. And that should be our first port of call, not in case of emergency break glass. It should be our first port of call. And you know, Jesus told them all that when he taught them to pray, as we can read in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 14, well, 15 I've got down to. And it's different from the prayer, as you'll find out when I read it. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. He made it clear to them the importance of forgiveness. My forgiveness, people think, oh, the nasty to me, I'll never forgive that. But you're carrying that burden around with you, and that anger can cause you a lot of trouble. And that person has walked off oblivious to hurting you, not caring or whatever, and they're living their life of Riley. And you're beating yourself up, and it's eating away at you all the time. Forgiveness is the best remedy, and it comes from our Heavenly Father. And it's something that we need to learn and to remember and to think about and to practice. Practice makes perfect, well, nearly perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect until we're called. Don't worry. Don't worry. We need to remember our Heavenly Father is our pilot. He is in control. He knows the beginning from the end, and the end from the beginning. And you know, the good news is, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we don't need to worry about anything. I would hate to disappoint people and not quote my friend Jeremiah. You know, chapter 29:11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And you know, that future is with him, where there's going to be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no worries about the taxman, electric bills, gas bills, going to the supermarket and finding the shelves are empty, or you can't get what you want. You know, I don't know what it's going to be like, but I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. It can't be any worse than we've got here. So why worry about what's happening here today? Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend so true. No matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. And I'm going to leave it there with you. And just bring it to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that if we are your children, then worry can take a back seat. In fact, we can get rid of it if we try hard. We know that we will still worry. We know that we come to you, Lord. You forgive us all of our worries, and you don't remember what our sins are. Your word tells us. You expunge them, and they're gone, complete. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We just pray that you'll continue to keep your hand upon us, discipline us when we need to, Lord, and direct our steps, and keep our face fixed firmly on Jesus, in whose name we pray. In his name, amen.